By the Way is a new radio show hosted by Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico. This show will keep listeners up to date on educational topics such as lifelong learning strategies and educational technology. By the Way is hosted by an expert in the field and is a perfect show for those who are passionate about learning and exploring new ideas. Join us for in-depth discussions, insightful interviews, and practical tips that will help you stay up to date with the latest educational trends.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Rio Doso. And it is the first Thursday. It is 8:05, and let me introduce to you, By the Way, your host, Michelle Perry.
Hi, good morning, Mike. I am here today, everybody, with a phenomenal lady. This lady's a friend of mine, and when I first heard her story, it was totally inspiring. I was completely inspired. And my guest today is Stephanie Pacheco Hernandez, acting city manager of Alamogordo. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. And I'm so excited we get to do this.
Me too.
You are my first guest on my first show.
What an honor. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you for being here. So, By the Way is a show that we've developed to address educational issues, educational topics, including anything to do with educational technology, as that is my love and passion. But to get us started, let's hear about your story, Stephanie, your inspiring story that's brought you here today as the acting city manager.
So everybody has a story, right? And so mine started a long time ago. I was a 21-year-old widow with a 3-year-old daughter, and I had to figure it out somehow. It was a shock. You know, he was there one day and gone the next, so I really didn't know what to do there. And so I went to Animus UA. I took a class.
Right here in Alamogordo, on the hill.
Right here.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know what to do, but I knew, well, I like learning. I like school. Let's go ahead and get serious about this so I can, you know, do something with my daughter. That was the biggest motivation right there. So I graduated with an associate's there, and that gave me a lot of confidence to move on. It's like, it's an accomplishment, you know, and I just like, well, this was good. And so I moved to Las Cruces and I spent 20 years there. I got a few other degrees just because it was just a fascinating. It was just felt so wonderful to go. And as I got more involved, I worked at the university and I just kind of rose up through there thanks through all the knowledge and everything I learned through education, you know. And it's not always just about the studies. There's so much more that you learn in college, you know. They're just showing up when you don't want to, dealing with people that are difficult, pushing through. And so everything that I have today is 100% started when I got serious and started taking classes up on the hill.
So your determination to create a life for yourself and your daughter is really what drove you to choose education as that next step.
Yes.
So after attending both campuses here and in Las Cruces at NMSU, you know, what were your aspirations to with that education? What were you hoping to achieve at that point?
You know, I was winging it. Honestly, I knew I loved numbers. I knew I loved accounting. That just came so easy to me. I had no, like, future long-term, I need to be CEO of my own company. I was winging it.
You didn't envision yourself as the acting city manager at that time.
There are days I'm like, wow, how did I get here? You know, really, I never, ever thought I'd be in government in the position that I'm in. It's kind of, and I hate to say I'm in awe of that, but I am, because when I left this town broken and scared with no plan, and I came back to this, and, you know, right now I'm acting city manager, but even as a assistant city manager, I'm second in charge of making some major decisions. And I'm just like, how did that unsure, scared little girl become me.
This beautiful, confident, intelligent leader of our community.
Thank you.
But I mean, so the educational experience for you was more than just learning the ins and outs of ABCs and 1-2-3s, right? It was more than your academic journey.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a life journey.
I want to say it was less about the academics and more about just learning how to interact with people, learning how to just say what's on your mind, be respectful, listen. I think that's the biggest one, is being able to open up and be open-minded and listening, because that's how you grow. You know, you don't have to agree with everybody. You just have to accept and acknowledge that you don't know everything and there's two sides to every story. And so I wasn't the straight A student. There are times that I was, and there are definitely times, if you look at my transcript, you would never think it's the same person, because there are times I got straight D's and there are times I got straight A's, you know?
And that's life.
That is life.
That is like the ebb and flow, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. up and down. And you persevered mm-hmm. through those low points, which is exactly what we do in life, you know? Mm-hmm. So our educational journeys sometimes often reflect that of which we live on a daily yes. basis.
And that's why when I'm very big on education, and not just higher education, just education in general, you know, if you want to go into a trade, be the best that you can at that trade, because it's all about you and your journey and how you're going to grow as a person.
And you are a prime example of that next level elevation. And so you arrive and you plateau and you level and then you keep going. And I'm going to bring up something that you and I share in common. And that is, we are both PhD students
yes.
right now.
Yes, we are. This was a goal. When I found out you could be a doctor without having to cut anything open, sign me up.
And you are about to be Dr. Pacheco Hernandez
yes.
in what? In maybe a year or so?
I had to push it out a little bit, but I'm hoping a year. Yeah.
Yes.
2024 is definitely the target.
Yes. So. And talk to us about that journey in getting your PhD, this advanced degree. Mm-hmm. And then talk to us about, like, is this something that's attainable for anyone? Or what does it take to go to school to get your doctorate?
I think it takes, you have to find your love for something, and it doesn't matter what it is. So, you know, I am in the higher education leadership, and my topic is completely different than anybody else's. And I wasn't sure I belonged there, to be honest. I had that, like, ooh, am I doing the right thing? But you know what? If you love something and you're passionate about something, you belong. It's, I can't say it's an easy journey, but if you love something, it becomes easier.
Right.
I have a very great husband. I have unselfish children, supportive parents, and they were like, you've wanted this for a very long time. Do it. It's like, oh, but then, you know, mom's guilt, wife guilt, daughter guilt. But they're like, no, it's something you want and only better for all of us. And so,
putting yourself mm-hmm. first and your desire.
Yes.
And talk to us about what you are studying. Talk to us about that topic.
So my topic is, I'm studying how to better support military spouses first, and veterans, and active duty second. I am a military spouse with my current husband, and there's a lot of challenges. You know, you're married to the military and you don't really realize you're marrying the military, and mm-hmm. you're chosen in a spot that you didn't actually apply for, you didn't sign up for, but it is expected. And it's a very difficult role to be in if you have your own dreams, your own goals.
Mm. So. I feel like across this community, I'm hearing military spouses say, preach, sister, preach. Yes, you're absolutely right. I'm a military dependent, or was, you know, as a child. So you're right. It becomes the entire family's duty.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read a book, Married to the Military, Was It Your Choice? And, you know, you realize you're marrying active duty or veteran. You don't realize everything that comes with it. They don't give you a handbook. It's, you know, it really is a job. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a job. It's, you know, you're the caretaker if there happens to be any medical conditions as a result of that. So you have to be this multifaceted person and still be a mom and not lose your own identity.
So what is your research question or questions?
So it's all tied to higher education right now, because as I said, it wasn't always a great journey, but I loved the learning. And so it's all tied around, how can higher education better support military spouses? Mm-hmm. You know, at one point they were just like, maybe accounting isn't for you, because I my husband had some conditions related to his military service, and they felt that I gave too much time to that. And I've had several people, doctors, you need to quit and just take care of your spouse. I'm like, quit my job, quit my school. And like, that's what a good wife would do, you know? And that was the mentality. I was like, they give me this benefit to go to school, but you're telling me I shouldn't be using it, or I should use it at your convenience. And it was, there were professors, not all of them were great. Most of them were amazing, but there were some challenges in higher education. So that's basically how can universities better support military spouses.
And so not just like universities who are near an Air Force base,
no,
right?
Like
this is a worldwide kind of global question.
Yes, absolutely.
Because our military is near and dear to our freedoms in this nation. And the veterans and the active duty provide something to us as a nation. So what are we doing in higher education, both private and public?
And that's actually a statistic that isn't really they take care of it in the, if you're getting a benefit, but it's not something like, are you a military spouse? You know, you get that, are you a military, but are you a military spouse? Because military spouses have different challenges. And I mean, I know everybody does, but this is where my focus is. And it's just, to me, I've spoken with professors, they're like, well, I've never had a military spouse in my class. I'm like, I'm a military spouse.
You just don't know.
Exactly.
There's an awareness.
Exactly.
There's a lack of awareness there.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, I think exactly, you need to make it aware, because once you realize that it is for the greater good of the community, of the country, because they're not every active duty retires from the military. And there's this reintegration that they talk about, but they don't really tell you that prepare yourself at the beginning for that in case you don't reenlist. You know, you got the benefits, you get all of that. And it made, when my husband got out of the military, having a career in insurance made it easier. It didn't make it easy. It just made it a little bit easier because there wasn't that concern of benefits. There wasn't that concern of, you know, the paychecks. So it's a big picture that nobody really wants to talk about. You know, what happens when they don't reenlist? Because the military's sole goal is to keep you there. And, you know, they invest a lot of time and money into you, so.
Well, and you and I talked about these ideas of academia, in that we spend a lot of time in theory, and that theory to praxis, you know, that practical use of what you discover and learn is sometimes missed. And it sounds like you've got a real handle on how you want to use these theories and ideas and knowledge to apply some great ideas. Talk to us about like the perfect world in which we would support our military spouses.
So, you know, my husband and I are really active in it. He's 100% disabled veteran. And so he sees that side. And so he, one of the times when they told me, you need to just quit your job, he just laughed, grabbed the baby, and walked out. And I was a little furious. I'm like, why did you laugh? He's like, because they don't know what kind of worms they just opened, and I didn't want my son near it. And so, like, that, like, little instance is like, okay, we can do this, but we can do this together, you know? And my husband is real big on making sure that the veteran or the military spouse realizes it's not just the spouse that needs to support you. You need to support your spouse, because it's, you know, you're not just part of the military. You're part of a family. And so my husband and I, once I get the PhD, we want to work really hard on trying to fix the policies that are broken to help better support the family as a whole unit, not just the military spouse, and not just have spouse appreciation, you know. And this is by no way in any slight to anybody. You know, if you don't want to go to school, if you don't want, that's great. But let's make it easier for those who do want to.
Yeah. So education, back to that, that's really important aspect of supporting military spouses, because your own story your success story hinged on that ability to acquire an education that elevated you. And so it kind of just does come back to that premise that education is this common thread through so many facets of life.
Absolutely. I mean, education has hit every area of my life. Like I said, from the very beginning when I was 21 to right now, education has always been at the forefront of it. I've always had this desire to learn, and the more I learn, the less I realize I know.
It's just
I can't express how education has literally saved my life, saved my marriage, given, you know, my children a bigger view of the world. You know, and all I can't say I have lived anywhere but in New Mexico, but I feel that I've learned so much more than just what I would have learned had I not gone to.
If you could go back and talk to your 21, 22-year-old self, what would you tell her?
That it's okay. It's okay not to do your best. Just do your best in that moment. Be kinder to yourself. Mm-hmm. Quit comparing yourself to, you know, students that weren't in your situation, because you don't know what everybody's facing. Just keep showing up. It's okay. Do what you can do and just be kinder to yourself.
Yes. I love that, you know, that self-care, that self-awareness of being able to say, I can let go of so much and just be kind to myself.
And even now, you know, you're in a PhD program and it's not competitive, but you're like, oh, I need that A. I want that A. I have to have that A. I'll look bad if I don't. And I'm like, you know what? So you had a terrible month. You know, things have gone bad. That assignment doesn't have to be the best. It's the best that I can do in this moment. I have to accept that.
And that's life. You know, isn't that it? I mean, again, I always have to come back to the thematic structure of education as it reflects our daily lives. And, you know, I'm about lifelong learning.
Of course.
And, of course, you're a prime example of that, because you are literally continuing your education to the very end.
Yes.
But what would you say to others who
this
might
This isn't my end, just so you know. My parent, even my daughter's like, is this it? I was like, no.
No?
I go, I want, always wanted a math degree.
For you.
And she's like, oh my gosh, how many graduations do I have to go to, Mom?
I love that about you.
It's never going to be the end for me. I want to always learn something.
And so to you, does learning always mean a degree or an advanced degree?
No, I've learned a lot that school couldn't have taught me. But for me personally, I love that environment. I love learning from people who know more than me. You know, that I will always go to some type of school. I don't know what type, but
so the pursuit of education can look a lot of different ways, right?
Absolutely.
So we know that you and I both adore the academic setting, but you and I both know that there's some pitfalls, especially when it comes to the theory to praxis model and trying to really apply what we sit around and talk about so much. You know, that's a huge issue. What would you say to others, listeners who might be like, well, I don't know about getting an advanced degree. What should I do? What is lifelong learning exactly?
So I will tell anybody what I tell my own children. I have five between my husband and I, three grandchildren, and I will, same thing I tell them. I don't care if you go to college or not. You need to learn your craft the best way you can. And I don't know what that means for you. You're going to find that out. If it's just on the job, hands-on learning, then just do it the best that you can do.
Awesome.
And it's just do it.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it. You just have to feel that confidence inside you.
So knowing that there's a multitude of multiple options to acquire learning. Like, let's talk a little bit of course, I can't help myself, the affordances of technology. I think we have like five more minutes. Yeah, five more minutes left. And I can't help but talk about technology and as it relates to lifelong learning. So for instance, you know, if I am not really wanting to go get an advanced degree, I have other options that I can get certificates and micro-credentials. Tell us what you know about those kinds of things.
So take my son, for instance. He thinks he wants to be an engineer. He's 14. He's not sure, but he really likes that. And so he's like, does welding fit into that, Mom? I go, find out. Go get the, they have a welding program at the school, so I'm sure you're aware. Sign up. Get that. See if that's something that interests you. You know, there's so many things out there. It's not all about a actual degree. There's just so many things out there, Cruz. Find it.
Yeah.
Look for it and enjoy it.
Right. And don't let the fear of failing you know, dissuade you. No. You know, yeah, that's what I want to tell kids all the time, mm-hmm. is that, yeah, you're going to strike out. And it's okay. It's okay to, mm-hmm. I mean, it's okay to fail. Let's not mm-hmm. have fear of failure. But the
that's
point
where
is,
you learn.
Yeah.
You learn. And I tell everyone, those straight F's and those straight D's are what the ones that I'm the most proud of, because I learned the most. And the most important is I learned to pick myself up and keep going.
Right.
Failure is where we grow and learn, and you reevaluate. It's not something to be scared of, you know, and I'm not saying embrace failure right. and seek to do it, but learn from it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody fails, and I don't care who you are. You failed at something, you know, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Just pick yourself up and move on, and don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that you picked yourself up from it.
Right. And it's never too late. That's the other thing. I mean, I hear you talking about Cruz, and he's a young guy. Mm-hmm. And but some of our listeners are like, oh, it's too late for me.
No.
Well, I am 50, and I'm in school.
I am 46. My stepdaughter just turned 36, and she went back to school to become a teacher, and she's killing it.
Of
she's
course.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and you're never too late, ever, right. to learn something new. Even my dad is almost 80, and we were having a conversation. He goes, well, I didn't know that. That's new to me.
I was like, and to be able to self-evaluate like that and say, I can see that I didn't know that. Now I've learned something new.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'm going to go to bed now. I learned something new.
And now I can sleep. So having learned a new thing today. So yeah, learn something new every day.
Yeah. It's just an amazing, just learning something you didn't know and just like, wow. That's just a cool feeling.
Right.
You know, and you're not meant to know everything, but it's a pretty cool feeling to learn something new.
And it's like, it takes a bit of a growth mindset too, right? That, that, you know, you have to allow yourself the opportunity to grow and mm-hmm. expand, mm-hmm. and you have to be okay with some of that mm-hmm. discomfort in learning things that are new to you. Well, I'm getting like the mark of, hey, we're about wrapping up here from Mike. And I just want to once again say how much I've appreciated you being here with me today, Stephanie.
Thank you so much.
And if anybody wants to get a hold of you and talk to you more about, like, you know, city, mm-hmm. you know, interest in the city, what's happening mm-hmm. there, or if they want to continue their conversation about education, where can they find you?
So for city, 575-439-4100, ask for me. I'm always, I've tried to bridge that NMSUA and the city, because we're just two big employers that we need to work hand in hand. I love to talk to people. I love to talk to city. I love to even get the complaints because we don't know what we don't know. So you need to tell us if there's something going on out there that we can't be everywhere at all times.
And you're so approachable, you know, and so kind and very endearing. And I'm so very happy to know you, Stephanie. And thank you once again.
Of course.
For being here
thank
with
you
me.
So much.
And by the way, you are amazing. So.
Thank you. Thank you so much.